Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Job chapter 37. And I'll remind you that in reading Job 37, we read the last chapter of Elihu's speech. And Lord willing, this afternoon in 38, we will see where the Lord takes up, where Elihu leaves off. Job chapter 37, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. At this also my heart trembleth, and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice, and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. He directeth it under the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. After it a voice roareth, he thundereth with the voice of his excellency, and he will not stay them when his voice is heard. God thundereth marvelously with his voice. Great things doeth he, which we cannot comprehend. For he saith to the snow, be thou on the earth, likewise to the small rain, and to the great rain of his strength. He sealeth up the hand of every man, that all men may know his work. Then the beasts go into dens, and remain in their places. Out of the south cometh the whirlwind, and cold out of the north. By the breath of God, frost is given, and the breath of the waters, and the breath of the waters is straightened. Also by watering, he wearieth the thick cloud. He scattereth his bright cloud, and it is turned round about by his counsels, that they may do whatsoever he commandeth them upon the face of the world in the earth. He causeth it to come, whether for correction, or for his land, or for mercy. Hearken unto this, O Job. Stand still, and consider the wondrous works of God. Dost thou know when God disposed them, and caused the light of his cloud to shine? Dost thou know the balancings of the clouds, the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge? How thy garments are warm when he quieteth the earth by the south wind? Hast thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong and as a molten looking glass? Teach us what we shall say unto him, for we cannot order our speech by reason of darkness. Shall it be told him that I speak? If a man speaks, surely he shall be swallowed up. And now men see not the bright light which is in the clouds, but the wind passeth and cleanseth them. Fair weather cometh out of the north. With God is terrible majesty. Touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Men do, therefore, fear him. He respecteth not any that are wise of heart. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. I think the passage is pretty self-explanatory. What is Elihu endeavoring to do with Job here? Well, since Job has brought God into his own judgment, since Job has put God under the microscope, as it were, to judge him as he pleases, Elihu shows him in this passage and in the last the folly of so doing by showing the great wisdom of God and comparing Job to that great wisdom and asking him the question, now how do you feel? Now how do you look in the face of what he counsels him to do in verse 14, hearken unto this, O Job, stand still, stop striving, literally, and consider the wondrous works of God and see in that consideration whether you will still be minded to draw him into judgment or not. It's a very simple process that Elihu calls upon Job to do here. He buttresses it, he reinforces it with various providential orderings of the Lord. But I hope that you see that it's more than simply God drives the wind, God drives the rain, God drives the weather, God drives the sun, the moon, the stars, and so on. Because notice what he says in verse 13, he causeth it to come, whether for his correction or for his land or for mercy. In other words, in every particular thing, even the rains that come, even things that we would consider insignificant in the world, God does them with purpose. If those things then, how much more the afflictions that he has sent upon you? It is with purpose. And it is a purpose, Job, if I can perhaps interpret Elihu's words somewhat here, it is a purpose you don't necessarily need to know. At least not right yet. You must learn to submit yourself unto his providences. You must learn that his purposes are upright before you must learn what they are. Did you hear that? This is where Job needs correction. Oh, if I could just have an understanding of why he's doing what he's doing, then I would cease my complaint. That is not uprightness. That is not godliness. Godliness is what we saw in Job in the first two chapters. Naked came I. Naked shall I leave this world. I came in with nothing. I'll leave with nothing. The Lord gave. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the kind of attitude that Elihu is calling upon Job to have here. Job, for his part, has devolved from that over the course of the book, and we have seen him drawing God into judgment. And as Elihu summarized for us last week, you've said, my righteousness is better than God's. Where you've drawn God into your judgment, where you would stand in judgment over him. And so what Elihu does for Job and for us all is to broaden out the understanding of God's wisdom in his providence and his purpose in every particular thing. Dear Christian, may I ask you? Let us draw an application here. Dear Christian, let me ask you. Do you believe that there is anything that takes place in this world providentially that is apart from the purpose of God? If you do, you have not yet risen to biblical orthodoxy with regard to his providence. We may not know what that is. We may not understand. It may be something as simple as the land needs rain. It may be something as simple as that. It may be something as complex as the land needs rain and Nebraska needs floods and people need to be displaced out of their homes and others need to rise up and help them and others need to be roused to prayer for their brethren and consider as we multiply those things ad infinitum. This is how God works, and nothing that he does in this world is without purpose. And as soon as we begin to deny his purpose, then we begin to preach another God. Let us be careful. I have a very dear friend who believes that God is involved in the big things, but not in the details. And he and I have gone round and round and round on this. And he is my dear friend and I love him. And he is absolutely unreasonable and stubborn in this. That's the way it is. He will not hear God speaking in the scriptures. Don't be like him. Don't be like him. Understand that while we may not know what that purpose is, with God it is good. And he does all things well, even sending floods like we see in the state of Nebraska and Iowa today. In Omaha and Council Bluffs and other places along the Missouri and Platte Rivers where farmers' homes have been wiped out, their fields soaked, their crops destroyed, their livelihoods brought into question for many years to come. This is the Lord's working, and he is wonderful in counsel, mighty in power. We must never draw him into judgment. This would be to take up an idol, namely our own thoughts, our own wisdom, our own prowess, mentally or otherwise. And this we must not do. Now, so successful are the speeches of Elihu that we only hear from him through these brief chapters that we have thus read over the last couple of weeks. What's so very interesting is we never hear about him before that. We never hear about him after. And the Lord simply takes up the speech out of his mouth and continues on in chapter 38. The other three friends, they are indeed condemned by the Lord. Job is corrected by the Lord. Job will be told later on to offer sacrifice for them, and Job will be received, and they will be received as Job plays the part, a type of Christ in offering for others. But Elihu, he is simply the prophet of the Lord over these last few chapters. And the Lord simply emphasizing the nature of prophecy, that it is him speaking at the mouth of a person, now will rise up and speak directly out of the whirlwind in chapter 38. All right? Thus ends the reading then of Job chapter 37.